My name's Barry Ward. I was born in Belle Isle in Leeds. I have two sisters. I was an afterthought. My two sisters, one's 19 and a half years older than me, and the other one's 18 and a half years older than me. They were both in the military during the war, and I was an afterthought. I think I was there to keep my mother from getting a job. My mother didn't work at the time I was born, but my father was an engineer working at the Royal Ordnance Factory in Barnbo in Leeds as a fitter. Later, my mother worked as a hand buttoner in a tailoring company in Leeds. We were, I suppose, somewhat privileged. We had a three-bedroom, semi-detached house, a private house, and it was on one of the very few private estates at that time in Belle Isle. My mother and father had lived most of their life in Hunslet, but always in rented accommodation, and they decided that they would buy a house and try and improve their lots. And so when they started building a private estate, they bought one of the first houses there. Strangely enough, most of the people that lived in the other houses, all the husbands or the menfolk, were all railway men, the majority mainline engine drivers, usually based in Hunslet. At Holbeck, generally, there were some GN drivers as well that worked out of the old Leeds Central station. I think they were rather an elite type of worker at that time. Just after the war or during the war, they obviously made fairly good money and they were in a protected profession. And so they were able to obviously get a mortgage to buy houses because I would say there'd be 15 or 20 railway men all living in the same area.
So growing up in Belle Isle, did you become a train spotter?
Couldn't do anything else, could you? Ardsley was the spot for me on the old GN line to see the Leeds to King's Cross line mainly. But later, Hunslet sidings became a haunt. As a kid, we used to play in the goods yard down there.
How did you get there?
Bicycle. Everywhere by bicycle. I think all the kids rode bicycles in that in those days. No problem at all riding around on streets. They were nothing like as busy as they are today, of course.
And when we say train spotter, did you actually write numbers down and can you remember the engines and the trains that you saw?
Oh, my goodness, I've still got the books. My wife, I'm glad she can't hear me, but I have them all tucked away in the loft and they're still all underlined. She's insisting that I throw them away, but of course we all know that that won't happen.
And what engines do you remember seeing?
Well, it was always the streaks, the A4 Pacifics that were the ones all the kids wanted to see because of the whistle sound and because of the streamlined fairings on them. They were very impressive engines at that time. And if you could get down by the trackside and you hear them coming through the tunnel, particularly at West Ardsley, and they blow the whistle, my goodness, it made the hairs on the back of your neck stand up.
And did you kind of like do any trespassing? You mentioned the Hunslet Goods Yard.
Oh, yes, I'm sure we trespassed everywhere that was possible, up signal gantries if we could, trying to get photographs. Not me, because I didn't have a camera, but people that I used to train spot with, we'd go into the cooling towers where they cleaned the water for the engines, and we'd hide in there till somebody came out of the shed, because you could see the engines in the shed, and they'd chase you away if they saw you. So we used to get in the water purifying tank. I'm sure, I hope it was water and not sewage, but we used to get in there nonetheless.
And was there any special privileges that you got because you lived with railwaymen?
Not really, not privileges as such, but many of my boys that I went to school with, because their fathers were engine drivers, we could go down to Central Station in Leeds in the evening when the Yorkshire Pullman was coming back from King's Cross. And if you were really lucky, and the boys would know if it was his father that was coming in with it, we'd get on and ride back to the engine shed with them, sometimes even sticking the bicycle in the tender on A4 Pacific. Some of them had tenders with a corridor in. You could stick the bicycle in there. Absolutely brilliant. I'm one of the few people that could say they've ridden the footplate of Malahad. I don't know, maybe there's lots of people can, but I never forgot that. It's stuck in my memory forever.
As you got older, did you go further afield on train spotting adventures?
No, I was never such an avid train spotter. I was very much a local train spotter. And when I went to secondary school, I kind of dropped the habit of train spotting. It wasn't until I started work that I got back into the train business. I had a gap of 5 or 6 years when I didn't really do much train spotting.
So how come you've got a connection with Woodlesford?
Well, it was by default, really. My mother and father used to argue periodically what they would like me to do when I left school, and they couldn't agree, and I didn't want to work at all. I wanted to do nothing. But my father managed to force the issue, and I had a job in an insurance broker's office in Leeds. But I finished school at the beginning of June, and the job wasn't available until the end of September. So I thought that that would give me 3 or 4 months with absolutely nothing to do in the summer. But my father had different ideas. He wanted me to get a part-time or a temporary job or something to earn some money. So he used to cut things out of the paper every night. And of course, that time, in 1960, there was lots of jobs about. And he cut out a piece that said trainee booking clerks on British Railways. And so I had to apply for it. And my goodness, I got the job and got it very quickly too.
Do you remember the interview?
Yes, the interview was at Leeds City Station, and I think second or third floor in the offices there. And when I got the letter saying that I'd got the job, I had to start at 9 o'clock Monday morning. And it was from the guy that had done the interview at Leeds City Station. And I didn't pick up on the fact that I wasn't working at Leeds City Station. I thought that that's where I was working. So at 9 o'clock on the Monday morning, I arrived at Leeds City Station, knocking on the door of the man who'd given me the job. And then he tactfully pointed out that I should have been in Woodlesford at 9 o'clock.
And you misread the letter.
Oops. First day at work, not a good start. But he gave me a ticket, stuck me on the train, and away I went to Woodlesford. And I spent the next 18 months certainly working at Woodlesford Station, and what a joy it was.
And had you actually been to the station before you started work there?
Never. I had never been to Woodlesford Station, or anywhere in that area. I'd been to Rothwell, because Rothwell Park was a place I used to play as a kid. We used to go on our bicycles. But I'd never been to Woodlesford at all and knew absolutely nothing about it. So it was a blank canvas for me.
So 1960, you were 16, you were just 16.
Yeah, 16, just over 16, and bailed out of school, much against my parents' better judgment. They wanted me to go on for further education, but I had different ideas. I was always fairly stubborn, and I never regretted it afterwards. It was the best job in the last 50 years. That was the best job I ever had.
Now, can you remember getting off that train then, coming from Leeds that first morning? Can you remember that morning and what happened to you?
Yeah, I got off the train, went into the station, up to the little window, and a guy came up to the window and asked me what I wanted. And I said that I was Barry Ward, the trainee booking clerk. And then I was introduced to the rest of the staff. And for me, it was a great joy, because I hated school whilst I was at school. And yet, at work, everybody was extremely friendly. They were lovely, lovely people. And, you know, I had a joyful first day at work. I came home in the evening and told my parents that this is great. I like it very much. And that was a first for me.
And can you remember what the job entailed? What did they teach you to do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, mainly I was there as a passenger trainee booking clerk. There was all kinds of jobs. There was goods clerks there and passenger clerks. So I was learning to issue tickets. We sort of cross-referenced with each other. We each did other people's jobs with freight labels, coal things. But it's kind of difficult to think back 50 years what it was that we actually did. I don't ever remember anything being hard work. I used to do the wages with Mr. Swaby. I was a big guy when I was 16, and Tommy Swaby was only a small man, but a gentleman. And I used to go to the bank with him, usually on Thursdays, I think, and he'd get the money out in his little Gladstone bag, and we'd come walking back. I think I was the heavy there to protect him. We'd walk back to the station, and he had the pay bill all worked out. I don't know who worked it out. It certainly wasn't me. I wasn't bright enough. But we made up the wage envelopes, and often I'd go down on the shunt engine down the line and pay out the wages, take the envelopes in a Hessian bag and pay them out to the signalman and at the stations on the line.
You mentioned Tom Swaby, who's the station master. Who else can you remember working with you on the station at that time then?
Well, the chief clerk at that time, the passenger guy, a grade three clerk, was a guy called Jack Perry. Lovely bloke, about 23, not been married very long, married to a girl called Anne, who worked in a solicitor office in Wakefield. They were a very nice couple, and they'd just bought a new house in Woodlesford. I can't remember the area, but I went there a few times. He was very good to me, taught me a great deal about the job. There was another young booking clerk called Dennis Wagstaff, who was a wag, besides being a Wagstaff. And we had lots of fun as a couple of 16-year-olds. I'm sure we didn't do much work, but life was fun.
And what fun things did you do?
Well, Dennis Wagstaff was about 3'6" and weighed about 4 stone. And I used to hold him by his legs from signal gantries and hanging on the platforms and in the forefoot taking photographs. And we often went down, pay the signalman's wages together. And we'd walk back on the line from Methley Sidings or Methley Junction Box. And on the embankment there, it could be quite hairy at times, always facing the traffic, because we'd been instructed to walk facing the traffic. But I was coming back there one day with my new camel coat on, my three-quarter length light camel coat that my mother had bought me. And I looked up and I saw an express coming straight towards me. So you had to stick your hand up and indicate that you'd seen it and when he whistled. And so I was just about to step over onto the down line, and my goodness, there was one coming the other way too. And it's a high embankment between Methley Sidings and Woodlesford. And so I had to get down the side of the embankment and hang on to the end of the sleepers whilst this train came past. And when it came along, it was the Thames Clyde Express at that time and had a dining car on it. And to my horror, I looked out and I could see all the rubbish and water coming out of the kitchen car from the side. So I pulled my jacket or my coat over the top of my head and kept my head down. And as the train went past, I got all the tea leaves and fatty water out of the kitchen. I went home that night. I thought my mother was going to kill me. Brand new coat and absolutely filthy.
They used to flush the toilets onto the track as well, didn't they?
I'm sure it wasn't. I think the toilets are emptied into the middle of the track, whereas the kitchen emptied onto the side.
So there was Dennis and Jack. What about the porters that you remember?
Porters, I remember old Fred. I can't remember his surname. But
Fred James.
Fred James, that's the guy from Minehead in Somerset. Lovely, lovely man. A real character. And did a terrific job for a man. I believe he was disabled. His right foot was disabled, and I think he was what they called a green card light duty man. But he used to clamber up the signal pole that was by the bridge at the end of the platform at Woodlesford Station, and it was about 90 feet high. Now, on a nice sunny day, you could climb up 90 feet, and it wasn't too bad. But he must have been nearing 65 at that time with a gammy right leg. And in a high wind at night, it was frightening. I tell you, I have been up there changing the old paraffin lamp in a signal when a driver reports it to the signal box. It's some poor Joe at the station that has to go and change the paraffin lamp. And I've been up that signal pole changing the lamp there at night, and it it swings a foot or two in either direction when the wind blows. And, of course, you have to hold on to the ladder with one hand and you've got a lamp in the other hand. How do you open the light at the top? It's very, very difficult. I'm sure those days have gone and they're all electric now, but it was all paraffin at that time. There was another old chap called Tom that was the goods man. And I don't remember his name. He was definitely called Tom, silver grey hair. And he was a tall guy, about 6 feet, 6 feet one. And he must have been 65 years of age. And he was very distinctive because he used to whistle the same tune day and night. All the time he whistled the same tune. And it was Beautiful Dreamer. And he used to go down to Skelton Grange and collect the labels off the mineral trucks where they delivered the coal, and he'd bring them all back, all the labels on waybills from the side of the mineral trucks. And he'd sit there whistling away in the office, and it was always Beautiful Dream. And people used to shout, "For Christ's sake, change the tune!" But I don't know what happened to him. He must have retired very soon after that time, because he was certainly aged.
Beautiful dreamer, wake unto me. Starlight and dewdrops are waiting for thee. Sounds of the rude world heard in the day, lulled by the moonlight, have all passed away. Beautiful dreamer, queen of my song, list while I woo throng. Beautiful dreamer, awake unto me. Beautiful dreamer, awake unto me. Beautiful dreamer.